Mighty Dark Dinobot.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
All right, hour number two of the program on a Monday. It's me and Tyler Scott till 4 o'clock as we roll through a lot of local sports things to cover. Spent a good portion of time in the first hour talking about your Houston Astros. Talked a little bit about this, I guess, controversy, as it was, the fan and what was actually said at the Rockies-Marlins game this weekend, and then clarifying it with the statements from the Rockies and others that were in the investigation. We mentioned it, didn't talk about it yet in detail, but the Rockets had their first summer league game. Look, coming into the weekend, Patrick Creighton and I both said there's a little bit more interest than normal in checking out summer league games and wanting to see what was going on and what the Rockets' young core of 19-year-olds and otherwise were going to look like as they took the floor for the first time. I'll say this. Think Kelvin Cato. Let's not go overboard yet. If you remember Kelvin Cato after an exhibition game, not even a summer league game, after an exhibition game in which he had a triple-double, he got a $42 million contract that the Rockets could never forget about because the fan base was punished and so was the salary cap. In this regard, I'm just saying, I just saw too many people across the board last night losing their mind as if like this team was headed for a championship soon. Look, the positive is they got this draft right, and I've said that all along. They did a hell of a job in the draft. And Rosetta Stone and his crew did exactly what they were supposed to do, but at least now they're owning it in that they're doing a complete rebuild. They got four 19-year-olds. The thing is, you don't have to have all four be stars. But they do have to play a role and become rotational players that can be effective. You saw that and a whole lot more last night of three of the four, in my opinion. In my opinion, you saw a guy in Jalen Green who is exactly what people hoped he would be when he was drafted as high as he was. The more important thing was you got the draft pick to get the kid that could possibly change your franchise. With everything that I've told you about the reports that I'm getting from X-Rocket, Eldridge Rakasner, who's front and center in Washington State, watching Jamal Crawford's, crossover league with Jamal Crawford. But they've said that Kevin Porter Jr. looks phenomenal. And that's one good thing. But then you see what Jalen Green did last night on his 23 points, and you see the bounce in his step. You see the jump shot, the ability to create for himself, the way he sees the floor. And the other thing that I really like is this kid's a gym rat. And he really wants to get better. And he wants to not only own everybody, own the title that everybody's trying to give him, but he wants to live up to it by working hard. I love every single thing about that. And you go down the list, and you look at Sengun, and you look at a guy that you heard was the most analytically highly regarded draft pick in the draft class. But you look at a guy that can make free throws as a big man. He was 9 of 14. He had 15 rebounds. As I keep saying, you don't need all four of these guys to be superstars. You need one or two to kind of fill those kind of shoes when you already have Kevin Porter Jr. But the rest of them just have to play their role. Look, you have your big men of the future right now, it looks like, in Sengun, okay? And you look like you're going to have a guy when he finally gets here after Team Spain that's going to be your lockdown defender. Now, Josh Christopher is a different story for me. Josh Christopher, I think, was drafted as much because he was Jalen Green's buddy as anything else after 1 year at Arizona State. And if you're not familiar, they took Harden's number out of the rafters to let him wear it for a year. I watched him play in college. He was all about himself. He had blinders on. He didn't pass. He shot everything. He's got ridiculous athleticism. But right from the get-go last night, you saw a guy again was trying to get his own. He was trying to take every shot. He was trying to do too much. But he's got potential. So I'm not worried about him either. What I'm looking at is a team that's starting to create a really young nucleus that they're going to be able to grow and develop with, and that's what I love. So I don't want anybody, I saw too many people losing their mind and going overboard and exaggerating with what this team is and where it could be. What I am going to say is they're doing it the right way in the rebuild so far, and the pieces that you have are great pieces to have for the present time. So that's what I like about it. I don't like the fact that people are already kind of putting the cart, putting the horse in front of the cart. So it was extremely, extremely positive. Now there's more games to come, and there's more opponents. But here's the other thing you guys got to keep in mind, too. This is an NBA competition. This is summer league competition. So aside from the draft picks and maybe a few first-year guys that are trying to get a little bit more run that are going to play. I saw Pritchard playing for the Celtics after his first year. That's fine. He's going to get some more run. But you know what? For the most part, these are guys trying that are journeymen trying to LiAngelo Ball, who played fairly decently for Charlotte yesterday, is a guy that's trying to get his final opportunity because his two brothers are in the league, and he actually showed out like he's got some potential and he might make that roster. But if you're looking at guys and you want to be impressed and you want to anoint guys based on summer league, you got to realize most of the guys they're playing against aren't going to be on NBA rosters, and they're not going to be NBA players. So it's a tough sell for me to try and say see a guy do well in the summer league and go, that dude gets it. That dude's going to be great. And that's where I'm at with that. I like what the Rockets have. I like what they're doing. I like the fact that they've got a good young core to build around. So those are the positives. Just continue to monitor them. Continue to watch, but be watching with an open mind. At this point, you don't have to worry about for another. Even Fran Fraschilla on the telecast said, Rockets are going to suck next year. They're not going to be good for another year or two. But that's okay because you have time right now. You weren't going to compete for a title next year, and you weren't going to compete for a playoff spot anyway. So what you really need to do is just continue to add pieces. You have to persevere through the John Wall contract as it is. You hope they can unload Eric Gordon. I don't know what the future brings for Christian Wood. If he's adamant about being a max player, then he'll do it somewhere else. If he's going to be a problem in the locker room for another year and he's got two left, he'll be I would assume they'll find a home for him somewhere before his final year of his contract where it's a lame duck situation. But that's where this Rockets team is, and that's where it should be. So the fact that they're not trying to get you to believe they're a championship-caliber team anymore and they're owning their fate for the short term as they build for the future, I like it. I like everything that they've done, and I credit the Rockets organization and Rosetta Stone for where they're at. So if you guys have a different opinion, you want to chime in on here, please do. 713-780-3776. Call me, text me, hit me up on Twitch and Twitter, and I'll try to get back to you as soon as I can. Tyler here as well, but I wanted to get that out of the way. I don't know what you saw, Tyler. I just saw too many people that were overreacting to one Rockets Summer League game.
I am in the underreacting.
Okay. I mean, you saw Jalen Green. He looks good.
No, I didn't.
You didn't.
Okay. Basically, anytime you're going to talk Rockets,
You too now.
It's going to be you and you alone, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got plenty of listeners that wanted to chime in about it.
Well, so of course, yeah. Feel free to call and talk to Joel about the Rockets, but I probably will not be able to add anything worthwhile to the conversation. Let's put it that way.
I think the bigger thing is that people are hungry to see the Houston teams kind of at least on the upswing and be positive. And now you've got some things to really look at and some players to be, you know, excited for. That's the main thing. I don't mind the excitement. I want to see fans get excited about this team again. I put 23 years in with that squad, and I want them to succeed. It's just that I was realistic in telling you it's going to be a while. And now, at least, instead of trying to convince you that you've got veterans like John Wall and Eric Gordon and guys that are part of the still chasing a championship type mentality, now they're embracing the reset. And like I said, the core group that they just added in this draft class alone, when you forget, you're going to continue to have them play with young guys like Jayshon Tate, younger guy like Christian Wood, Ken Porter Jr. and Kenyon Martin Jr. That's your core right now that are the guys you're going to be closely monitoring. Everybody else can come and go. John Wall was there. Hey, way to support your team, big guy. But come the start of the season, if you're trying to get yours, trying to tell everybody that this is your franchise now that James Harden is gone, you're going to continue with that narrative. And you're also going to kind of pick and choose when you play and don't. And when you do play, you're going to be selfish. No time for it. No place for it. Move on. I'll send you home. I'll be like Deshaun Watson. You can collect your check and you can go sit home. But I don't need you getting in the way of the development of these young players because that's what the Rockets are focused on right now. So I like that, and I like where they're at. So there's a little NBA. And also, by the way, on the NBA front, a couple of interesting stories that I came across, but one that's going to be really interesting, especially coming off the fact that, you know, when the Bucks were trying to chase down Bogdanovich last year from the Kings before he eventually was traded to the Hawks, they got caught tampering. They weren't allowed to sign and trade him like that. They thought they were going to be able to, and they lost a second round pick along the way because it was viewed as tampering. Now the league
there's two tampering stories.
So now there's two more. There, right? Yeah. So now the league has shown this isn't a one time thing with Milwaukee. This is a legit thing that's going to be something that they're not going to tolerate. And you know what? We laughed about this last week, and I said, let's be honest. Conversations were going on well before they said you could have them. Agents and otherwise were talking about. Otherwise, there's no way before 24 hours before free agency talk was allowed. Talk, Tyler. Not allowed to be signing, not confirming the trades yet. Just talk was allowed to happen. Suddenly, the Miami Heat decided that Goran Dragic was going to get fully guaranteed his $19-plus million for next season, when in fact they weren't really sure Goran Dragic fit in the plans. The only reason why they did that is because he was the perfect sign and trade salary to get them Kyle Lowry. It's been going on for years. I told you guys about this. Now suddenly the NBA has said, not only are we going to try and put an end to it, it's kind of like spider tack in baseball. Now suddenly are we not only aware of it, we're going to try and put an end to it. And oh, by the way, as part of it, we're allowed to go into your emails and texts, general managers and agents and otherwise. And I don't know how they're going to get the agents. NBA employees, I can understand to some degree, they're going to try and get access to, especially the emails. But they're saying they're going to get emails, text messages, and everything from everybody to try and convict those that are guilty. Good luck to you, because it's been going on for a long time, and there's plenty of behind-the-scenes ways that these guys figure this stuff out.
Do teams issue, like, cell phones? Or do they have, like, a work phone that they give you? Or are
so
you
forever,
just...
yeah, cell phone for my entire time with the Rockets was a company cell phone
company,
paid for by them. And so upper management, along with the coaching staff, the general managers and such, get a company phone. And I think that's throughout the league.
I mean, the only way to...
The emails are another story.
Yeah, emails, I mean, all emails, and if it's a company phone, like,
right,
they'll be able to...
When you sync them up, you know, our IT department knew if they had to track down an email or a text message because they were company property, they could do it. So if you want to go that route, you're not going to get agents to comply. You're not going to get players to comply because they're not on that business plan.
I
so,
mean, they'll just get around it by hanging out with each other.
It's forever and a day, and you're right, Todd. Look, there's no way to actually police this the way you want to, because all I got to do is go to someone's best friend or someone, you know, or someone's relative and go, hey, I'm thinking about your brother or your buddy, and I want to know, would it take this? I without incriminating anybody, well before the deadline, I've had many a phone conversation, quote-unquote, representing but not the Houston Rockets in trying to see if certain people would be amicable to certain dollar figures and or considering the Houston Rockets. That's where I'll leave it. It happens. I don't know if they're ever going to put a stop to it, but good luck to you in trying. Second hour rolls on. Lots more to get to. And if you guys want to be a part of it, Deshaun Watson in a ski hat today, too, by the way. Anybody check the temperature? It's like 100. What are you doing? A lot more than that, because what are you doing on the field back after 5 days? We can kick that around as well as other things. We're here for you. It's Tyler and Joel. It is the Press Box. It's ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
Hey, you heard the man. Me and Tyler till 4 today as we get you through the final makeshift week before the new lineup starts on Monday. Touched on the new lineup earlier. And the commentary on all of that. So I guess if in case you missed it, you can go back and hear all of it. But the new lineup starts Monday. And we will we'll get there eventually. So in the meantime, bear with us. Have some fun on the box as we continue to do what we've done for quite a while now. And that is try to get you guys engaged in some discussions about sports and other things. And a lot of sports today. As we were talking about coming off the weekend, we talked a whole lot about everything that had gone down with the Astros and your level of concern and panic. And then Got into some Rockets in the last segment. Now it's time for some Texans talk, Tyler, because look, I'm to be honest with you, I'm perplexed. I'm a little bit more perplexed every day. Deshaun Watson misses 5 days. Now, the one thing that annoyed me was there was supposedly an injury. You can't get injured at free safety and suddenly have arm issues. And you're not Dak Prescott. So I felt like that was just another way of kind of putting a Band-Aid on a situation while behind the scenes it was mutually agreed upon. The best thing for everybody involved is you should just stay home. You're getting your money. You made your point. If you want us to be the bad guy and be the guy that tells you to stay home, Nick Caserio will do that. And it's for everybody's best interest. But no, today, a new day, a new week, evidently a chill in the bubble as Deshaun comes out with pads on and ski hat in the 100-degree heat, talks to Caserio before, and is participating at practice today. Am I the only one that has a problem with this?
I think so.
You don't have any problem with that?
I mean, he's about to run around and maybe not do extraneous activity on the field, but at least he's probably going to work up a little bit of sweat. So he's got a beanie on, whatever.
I'm worried about him being at practice, Tyler. Oh. I'm saying, what is the purpose? If it's agreed upon, and it's still where we stand between team and player, that he doesn't want to be in Houston, then why am I doing anything that's going to benefit me putting him on the field, near the field, or obviously because he somehow came down with an injury too while just being on the scout team on the field? Why is he out there? Okay, the league won't step in and do what it's supposed to do, and a la Trevor Bauer say, until this is all settled, you're on the suspended list, whatever the list may be, we'll step in if you guys won't. No, they're afraid, or for whatever the reason, they're not getting involved. The Texans are not saying, okay, you made your point. You don't want to lose any more money. You're here. We know you're not going to be a part of what we're trying to do for 2021. So we get what you're doing, but stay away from who's going to be doing it on the field this year. We've got a team to kind of mold together, but that isn't happening. And now after 5 days off, he's back. I don't get what the benefit is unless, and again, this is also a problem because the media firestorm and circus that you hope was dying down and going away after 5 days, especially the national media that continued to think that there was a story to be had every time he suited up, had died down. Now it's all rejuvenated again, like, why is Deshaun out there? And here's the kicker. Is there a way that they might be able to mend fences? Are they trying to rectify the situation? Is Deshaun saying, hey, while all this is going on, why don't I change my mind a little bit, but why don't I see if I can't still play here to let everybody know I can still play, know that there's an opportunity for me to play, and know that it's still me as a resume builder proving to the next team out there, because I'll still go back at some point and tell you I want out, but at least this is me letting everybody know I can still play and do it. It's just let me get through it. I think it's an issue. I don't see any benefit for either side in him being out there except for creating more unneeded attention.
Because, I mean, plus, say something happens, some freak accident, he gets hurt, like, they're on the hook for all the insurance. Like, there's going to be an insurance claim, and they're probably going to have to pay all that out.
I mean, do you think there's any hope that he's coming back? That he would reconsider and he would want to be a member of the Texans again?
I mean, at this point, I wouldn't be hoping for that.
Right.
But I think it might be a possibility. And I mean, you just hope that if that does happen, that all this is kind of cleared up. But at the same time, these accusations aren't light, and I don't think too many fans are just going to kind of let that go by.
I look at it and I think, okay, we talked about this. No one's trading for this guy until this is solved. Now, if Deshaun was of level-headed, sound mind and said, I'd like to retract my statement of wanting to be traded. You guys have, you know, are allowing me to stick, you know, you're sticking with me, whether it's by choice or, you know, just by circumstance, but maybe my best course of action is to pull off my trade, to pull back my trade request and just stick this out because I can actually play until I have my day in court or give my deposition and or settle all these things out of court and put them behind me, as opposed to having to be a lame duck quarterback literally without a place to play in hopes that teams don't forget about me or forget about my ability or think that I still got it so that I can get to my next destination sooner rather than later. I don't know. I don't like it because I think the focus should be whoever's going to quarterback this team, not named Deshaun Watson this season, because that's the way it seems like it's going, and what kind of team they're going to have. Because we told you, look, I think that to anticipate and to look forward to anything other than a season of suck would be completely misguided on your part. I think this team, in order for them to rebuild quicker and have the right draft picks to start each and every round, they should suck for one more year. And so, therefore, Deshaun's not going to help it. But with Deshaun, you only won four games a year ago. So I don't know, again, what that benefits other than if Deshaun does play, he better want to stay, because otherwise he could get hurt. He's proven that that could be the case in the past, even when he didn't have a trade request on the table. And it still ends badly for the Texans. So if he's your number one asset, he either should stay at home until everything's figured out, or if he's going to be on the practice field, let him practice and see if he can play. I think he's a distraction. I think that's all it is.
I mean, yeah, like if you look at beat writers, like the whole thing is Deshaun, like that's all it is. Deshaun's not on the field. Deshaun is on the field. Like there's really like, I don't know if they think that there's any other reason for them to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, look, and I think that even from the team perspective, when you're in the locker room every day, at a certain point, players notice, players care, players want you to be focused on, hey, these are the guys that are going to be here this year. These are the guys in the trenches and otherwise they're going to be grinding it out, wearing that bull's head on their helmet, the red, white, and blue, and trying to do some things for this organization. If the focus every day is going to be on a guy that is just like a distraction every day, that isn't going to be on the field with us, that isn't going to be trying to get W's with us, that isn't going to like be here for the long haul with us, at least some of us, then what are we doing? Why do we keep allowing him to come out here? And when do we as an organization realize, hey, it's time to hunker down and do what we got to do too? It may be a hard pill to swallow if you got to pay the guy, but it's far better than him being the distraction every day. That's the main thing everybody wants to talk about in terms of instead of the progress of young guys, the competition at certain positions, where the quarterback position stands, where the new coach and general manager are going and what are they doing. Those are the things I think that they need to focus on, that the players would really appreciate having the media focus on instead of number four all day, every day. So, all right. That's that. That's your Texans update for the day. Let me know how you feel about it. If you guys want to give me your opinions and chime in. Look, I want what's best for this Texans team, but the bottom line is that they are rebuilding just like the Rockets. The Rockets are taking the right approach. The Texans could be taking the right approach if they tell Deshaun to stay home. But I guess evidently because of the bottom line, and that's the only thing I can think that's driving this, they are stunting the growth of this team and the development and progress of this team moving forward. Every single day, he is on the practice field. If you disagree, let me know. If you agree, let me know. We can talk about it. We'll continue to get to the second half of the program next. 90 in the books, 90 still on the agenda as we move forward. Stay right where you got it. It is the Press Box. It is ESPN.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
All right, back with Tyler till 4 as we continue to roll through a Monday. Talking about this Watson situation. Look, I'm totally aware of why he's there. it's not about him. It's about the organization at this point. And Largo and I are having a good back and forth in terms of trying to figure out. I know the NBA. I'm not sure exactly how the NFL does this as opposed to the difference between the two leagues. But here's the thing. I get why Watson's there. But if I'm the Texans, regardless of whether the NFL's afraid to get involved or not, and I believe that as long as he still gets his money, you can still put him on a you can suspend him, or you can tell him to stay home. You can call it a suspension. You can call it whatever you want to call it, a leave, like they did in the Trevor Bauer situation when MLB put Trevor Bauer on leave. I think that the NFL Players Association isn't going to get involved and get mad at you and file a grievance if he's still getting his money, because they know it's the best thing for both sides. Because Watson's showing up, and then if the Texans are saying, well, as long as you're here, you might as well take some snaps. You might as well start getting some reps in, and we might as well use you because you are the most viable, best option we have at the quarterback position. And then maybe he and his camp take offense to it. But if they told him to go home and they weren't going to pay him, then there would be an issue and grounds for a grievance. But as far as my understanding, as long as they continue to pay him but say, just stay away because it's not benefiting our team for this season, then I think that you could get away with it. And maybe I can go down the hallway and ask Lance, or we can find someone that might know a little bit more about how the NFL Players Association and the agreement with the NFLPA and the NFL Collective Bargaining Agreement, how that factors in. But otherwise, it just doesn't – and nobody any good to have him out there, in my opinion. And I know that Lance and John had some good dialogue. I think it was last week after Lance did a Bucky Brooks podcast where he was talking about Bucky believed that he should be out there and you should play him and just be out there taking reps. And obviously everybody's got an opinion on that, and they had some good back and forth on that as well. Before we get off the topic, Kevin wants to get in here on the subject of Deshaun Watson, so we want Kevin to be a part of the box. What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, man, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, look, if I'm Coach Cully or if you're Caserio, more so Caserio, there's no way, because your success is connected to a quality quarterback, regardless of who that is. That's why they drafted one. So if there's the opportunity of me somehow convincing this guy that, hey, this is a different front office, I know what happened in the past, Deshaun, come in, sit down, talk to us. Regardless where Deshaun Watson goes, man, he's going to catch hell about everything he's going through right now. But we know he can play the quarterback position. So if you're Coach Cully or Caserio, man, you want the guy out there because you want to be able to have contact with him to convince him that, man, this may still be the place for you to play. Like, why would you get rid of a guy unless he's going to be guaranteed assets? I'm talking about some can't-miss prospects coming up in the next 2 or 3 years of a draft that this guy can be an asset to your ball club. So, no, I keep him here. I keep him coming in the building. That gives me an opportunity to get in his ear about being a Houston Texan, because I know my success as a GM and head coach is connected to a quality quarterback. Now, whether or not that's Deshaun Watson, whether or not that's Davis Smith, that's the only way that this organization is going to be successful. Now, we talk about the other guys. Man, the guy is not a distraction. Look, me, myself, being an athlete, playing major college football, man, we had some issues with some guys. It wasn't our quarterback, but there were some other guys on the roster that were starters, 2 or 3 year starters in the program. Like, it's not a distraction when those guys are there or when they're not there, when they've been in trouble, like, especially as a professional.
Now,
because Kev, I'm here about my paycheck.
Kev, I'm going to have the discussion with you, but I'm going to take the other side of this, because in my experiences in dealing with this, and not on the major college level, but in the NBA, I can tell you firsthand that the locker room at a certain point, like if it's a day or two, I get it. Like, you're talking about a guy that's no longer there or has been sent home, and I've dealt with both. But if a week, 2 weeks later, especially as you're trying to get a fresh start, you don't even have a win or a loss yet, and you're trying to make a name for yourself, for your new team, and trying to get this team to a certain place, if that's still the topic of conversation, if that player that's no longer there is still what's being brought up and being pushed at you as a narrative they want you to comment on, it gets tiring. It gets old. And inside that locker room when the media's not there, they get pretty ticked off about it.
Man, and I feel you, but I'm the player. When you come to me with it as a grown man, I'm going to say, hey, man, look, that's not my situation to come in on. I feel you guys think it's a story. If y'all want to come in on it, or if y'all want to print it, print what you want to print. I'll talk to you about what's going on currently with the guys that's here in the locker room. But that guy not being here doesn't affect my paycheck, so I want to talk to you about what's happening on the floor, what's happening on the field right now, not what he's got going on. I mean, and that's how I would handle that as a professional. Because truly, that's what it's about. The guys who are here in the locker room right now, not about somebody else's business who I can't affect or effect one way or the other, positively or negatively. Whatever's going to happen with Deshaun, not one player on that team can make a difference in it. Not one player on that team truly knows the outcome. I'm not the judge, I'm not the jury, or the executioner, so I don't want to discuss what's going on with Deshaun. Next question.
Okay, but I don't know where you played D1, but I'm just going to tell you
Texas
this.
Texas Tech. I played at
Texas Tech. Okay, so I would assume that you weren't talking about the paycheck you were getting at Tech. You were talking about the situation currently. But I kid with you, you know, with the NIL and everything like that. But here's my thing with this. Okay, to your comments. Do you honestly believe that either side believes now, with everything that they've endured, that there's any chance of rectifying this situation? Do you think if you're the Houston Texans, as you mentioned, if you're Cully and you're Caserio, you made your best run at him. You made your best effort to try and bring him in. And obviously it was unsuccessful. Do you suddenly think that all of a sudden there's going to be one last change of heart and there's a way that you're going to keep him in a Texans uniform, regardless of what happens with these court cases? I'm asking you.
Man, let me tell you something. Honestly, I do. And I'm not even the GM of that ball club, but I believe in me. Let me say that. And I'm talking about me, the person right now. And if I was the general manager of that ball club, I'm betting on me. I'm betting on me sitting down with this grown man and having a grown man conversation day in and day out every time I see him to convince that I've got his best interest at heart. Regardless of what happened in the past, I've got your best interest at heart right now. Let me show you. Let me help you understand where I'm trying to go with this thing. And if that's still a no, then hey, okay. But I'm going to give it my best effort. I ain't going to say, and I know this is a guy that can keep me here for 10 years, or this is a guy, if he's not here, I can be gone in 3. So, yeah, on me personally,
yep.
Then I'm going to give it the best shot I can.
I appreciate the call, Kev. Appreciate you chiming in. Look, I think that that's fair, but I don't know that that's realistic anymore. I think that, like I said, the problem that I have too, Tyler, and you can chime in as well, but here's my opinion on all of this. That's fine and dandy too, but if Deshaun still says that the crux of all of this is Cal McNair, that's the one thing that's not going to change. I can believe in Nick Caserio. I can believe in David Culley. I can believe that they have the right frame of mind and the right focus. But unless I change my frame of mind in terms of how I feel about this organization because of the man at the top, nothing else can change, no matter what I think, because of the fact that he owns the team with his mom, and he ain't going anywhere. So that's why I always thought it was so ludicrous right from the get-go that Deshaun said, unless Cal goes, I'm not staying. Well, Cal ain't going anywhere unless he pulls a complete idiotic faux pas that the league has to get involved in, and I don't see that happening, because he's playing video games on the floor. So that's where I think it all starts and ends, no matter what he feels like with Caserio and Culley. And Tyler, I don't know if you feel differently.
Yeah, I mean, that's I think whatever changed that, and I don't even know that most fans are kind of hoping that there's change. I mean, obviously they want a winning product on the field, but I don't think that they are in tune with it as, say, you or I or Lance or John or anybody who kind of knows the inner workings of that team, because if they did, then they would understand, okay, we need to get rid of Cal. We need to find a way to just change the entire structure of their front office, like everything, the whole culture of that team. And if Cal's not going to sell, if the McNair family is not going to sell, then it's a fruitless effort trying to think that, oh yeah, you know what, Deshaun's going to stay and they're going to win. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. And I think that Sure. I mean, am I false? Am I way off base in thinking it's a fairy tale scenario to think that either side is going to have a complete change of heart and this is going to be a kumbaya situation that suddenly becomes the Cinderella story and they rectify it and there's hope and keep hope alive because never say never and it's going to work out in the end. And then the cases are all going to be solved and Deshaun's going to go back to playing quarterback and the team is going to turn it around and everyone's going to be happy. It's just not. I just don't see any of that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you.
It's completely unrealistic, yeah. But I guess everybody can think what they want to think. We'll continue to push it forward. We've got things we can think, what we want to think about in all directions, and lots more to get to. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, and you want to throw it out there, bring it to us, 713-780-3776, as we will touch on some other things going forward. News and notes are across the big three of sports and otherwise. Breaking stories, if there's any that pop up, or continuing stories that we've already talked about. It's all what we do here on the Press Box, ESPN.
ESPN. 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
You heard the man. We have a plan. We're taking it until 4 o'clock. It's Tyler and myself on a Monday talking about a whole lot of things, Houston sports and otherwise, getting you ready for a new week where there was a lot to be talked about. I mean, the bigger deal as we talk about all of this is, are you panicked about the Astros? Are you have a problem with the Texans and Deshaun being there? Are you giddy about the Rockets, or are you realistic in realizing as part of a rebuild, they did a hell of a job in the draft, the young players look like they might turn out to be something, and though they don't all have to be superstars, they've got some building blocks to build around, and that's a positive. So you can chime in on any and all of the above if you'd like, as well as other things. And news of the day, we also hit the big story coming out of baseball, which was the word that wasn't. As you were directed over the weekend in social media to what was going on at in Colorado, in Denver, at the Rockies home game, where everybody was using social media to put out video that was from the Miami TV of a fan supposedly dropping a racial slur. It was then found out that the fan was actually referring to Dinger, the Rockies mascot. So there was a whole lot of splaining to do, and everybody kind of had to walk back some of the things that they were getting overly excited about. So we spoke about that as well. Other than that, you know, basically just running the gamut of stories that are out there in terms of what's going on nationally and otherwise. Astros off today. Tyler, you believe that Bregman's going to play tomorrow night? Because I think so. I mean, I know that the Skeeters were on the road this weekend for the rest of that road trip. And yet Bregman, if you saw that, was with a hoodie on in the dugout for the remainder of the Twins series. So I feel like that's the best positive sign yet that Alex Bregman should be back tomorrow night.
Yeah, and they said it was he came in to give an update, and I mean, I don't see him leaving now. I think he's probably, if he isn't starting on Tuesday, I think they might at least get him in like a pinch hit situation at the end of the game.
I would think that even more so than that, since he's been getting innings in, since he has been playing to make sure that he was able and capable of playing, you know, as much as they wanted him to make sure his legs were up to speed, and he keeps tweeting about how he's been running and doing the things he needed to do at full speed. I think we've seen enough of rehab. If he's going to be on the bench, if he's going to be in uniform, if he's going to be available, he should be out there for the whole game. I mean, because it's just a benefit. Like I said, there's no wiggle room anymore like when you had a six-game cushion against the A's. If the difference is two in the loss column and Aledmys Diaz is ripping the cover off of it, and you're struggling in other areas to find base hits while you have replacement players out there for your normal starters, why wouldn't you want Bregman at third so that you can put Aledmys Diaz somewhere else if you had to while Yuli is out? Though Taylor Jones played well this weekend, I just completely believe that he's better suited for the Skeeters this season.
Yeah, and I mean, he got some production out of him, but I don't even think we really mentioned it, the whole Michael Brantley thing. Like, was he in concussion protocol? Is that why he got taken out of the game? So that might be your spot that Diaz plays, unless Dusty thinks that Jordan is going to be his left fielder if he wants to get that bat in the lineup. But yeah, I think it's probably a safer lineup having Diaz out in left, Jordan DHing, Bregman at third.
Wait a minute, time that one more time. You want Bregman DHing?
No, Bregman at third, Jordan DH,
yeah.
Diaz in left, playing for Brantley.
If indeed it is something more serious, right?
If Brantley is going to be out a day or two. But
I mean, did you see the replay of that? Did you think he got hit in the face?
They said he got elbowed, and it was Andrelton Simmons' left elbow that hit him. And I think maybe it did, but I don't think it had near the force that would cause a concussion.
When
but
I
maybe,
look at the replay, it's kind of like we were talking about even with the Rocky situation. I needed to see the replay a couple of times without anybody telling me anything, because I heard originally from the announcers, hey, he got hit in the face. But when I looked at it several times, it looked like he got his arms up so that it prevented any contact to the face. And again, it just seems like, as good as Michael Brantley is at being somewhat durable, with the ankle at first base that night when he hit the bag, they immediately didn't want to, they threw caution to the wind. They were like, we're not taking any chances. He's out. It seemed like another situation again yesterday where we're not taking any chances, whether he got hit in the face or not. If you know, he's a little shaken up, he's out. And they just, they yanked him no matter what to be, you know, border on the side of caution. That's fine. But I looked at it, and look, I understand that sometimes even if his arm got in the way, that the jolt to the head might be enough, that maybe something happened. I'm not here to tell you as a medical, I'm not a medical professional to tell you, and I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Select last night to have the jurisdiction to tell you that something medical is, I think, completely a farce. I'm just saying that it didn't look like much. So I would not think that there's any kind of long-term effect on him being in the lineup, but ideally you want to get back to 100% full strength, which would be Jordan, as you said, at DH, Brantley in left, Tucker in right. Evidently, Chaz has earned his stripes, and he's hitting the ball, and he's not doing anything to bother you defensively.
Which, that's great, but also if you're James Click and you're saying, oh, Jake Myers, he deserves this call-up, like, get him in the lineup. Don't
just
give him...
He finally played yesterday.
Well, yeah, out of necessity, but you get him the three games before that. He got one or two. He got one at bat in the ninth inning or eighth inning, whatever it was. Like, that's not going to help him progress or even show that he belongs in the big leagues.
You're right. And I think that what Pat Creighton was saying too, that we were talking about, was I was completely on board with, if he's not going to play every day, and because now it's tightened up to the point where maybe he shouldn't, because you can't just, you can't be looking to give guys auditions when you're in the middle of a pennant race, that maybe the best case scenario for him is to then go back to playing for the Skeeters, where he's hitting every day and he's fielding every day and he's staying fresh every day, as opposed to he's taking some swings, he's getting some hit work in the cages, but he's not in game situations.
Yeah.
I understand that might leave you a little light in the outfield and you'd have to figure some other things out. But yeah, he right now, because they don't have a six-game cushion over the A's anymore, I can't see him breaking the starting lineup. Chaz is going to be out there. So therefore, unless it's a pinch runner situation, the question has to be asked, are you stunting his growth a little bit short term by leaving him on the major league roster to not get ABs and not be out in the field playing on a consistent basis so that he can be a backup and help this team? Or is he better suited to get his regular role for the Skeeters? But then I ask you, who's going to be that backup outfielder? And please don't tell me Josh Reddick, because I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, I think that that ship sailed a long time ago, and I don't think it is coming into port anytime soon.
I agree with you. So figure it out, boxers. If you agree with us, then we need another outfielder on the roster. So if that's going to be the case, then help me out, because I don't see one that is available that would make sense, because they got to play center field. And I don't want to see Kyle Tucker in center field anymore either. I'm sorry. There's just that lack of, like, aggressiveness out in the outfield. Brantley has it too, to be honest with you. But if Brantley, Yordan, and Tucker all have it, the one place they can't have it is the middle of the outfield and center field, when you need someone that is defensively focused. And Pat Creighton's done a hell of a job in pointing that out as well. Like, up the middle is your key to your defense. And if you don't have any guys that are in attack mode in center field, then you got a problem. So if it's not going to be Chaz, then who's it going to be? And if it's not going to be the kid playing center field, then find me someone that's going to be your backup outfielder. But that's, again, something that you need to look at. I don't know if there's someone on Team USA. I don't know if there's someone that's a free agent that's out there that hasn't been claimed. But I know this. They're going to have to figure it out pretty quickly, because they're in the middle of it, and they need to do something about it sooner rather than later. So we'll see how that all plays out. And as I mentioned, too, the other thing is the starting pitching. What looked like a massive strength, now you're just searching for four good guys. I need four good men. And Lance, after yesterday, doesn't look like he was the ace and the number one in the playoffs that I thought he was going to be, though it was just one outing. I'm not trying to lose my mind over this or overthink it, but he gave up, you know, the home run ball was a problem, and he gave up, four, you know, a four spot I didn't like. So I have some concerns. Greinke, obviously, same thing with his last start. I have some concerns. Fromber hasn't been able to find his control. I have some concerns. Look, even Luis Garcia wasn't great, but I still believe that he has been doing great. And so I have confidence in him. I'm a little leery about what kind of Urquidy we're going to get, because even if he comes back full strength and looks good, how long before he gets hurt again? It's the same shoulder. So they have to find four good starters. The bullpen, not as worried. Montero goes down yesterday. Now the injury bug striking all over the place. So what level of concern you guys got? You guys can tell me. I'm telling you how I feel about it, and then we'll go from there. But we've got 1 hour to go in the show, 60 minutes on the clock, so plenty of opportunities for you still to be involved. 713-780-3776, HRNP listen line for calls and or texts. Otherwise, Twitch and Twitter. We'll come back for the final hour of the program. Keep it right where you got it. It's the Press Box at ESPN.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.